Hello and welcome to another edition of Spotlight Coaching, where we shine a light on what you most want when it comes to dating, mating, and relating. I'm your coach, Jonathan Asley, and I'm so excited to be hosting this very, very, very special couple. And yes, I'm doing a call. I'm going to be getting some insights from a couple who met through an online connection. They've started a nice, comfortable romance together, and now they've chosen to live together, and I want to get the whole scoop from them. So I want to welcome, well, actually, I'm just realizing I don't know how to pronounce either one of your last names, so I want to welcome Michelle and David to our call tonight.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi, Jonathan.
Hi, David. Thank you. I didn't have a big fan. I'm so used to doing some bio or something like that, and I just realized I don't have anyone for you guys, so I'm just kind of start off for that. But for those listening, I'm very grateful for Dave and Michelle jumping on tonight, because I was just sharing with them that oftentimes you're hearing the male perspective from me only, and I was really excited when Michelle and David agreed to come on, because I want all of you to hear from a guy's perspective, you know, kind of our process of getting into a relationship and choosing a partner, and in this particular case, since they're moving in together, get some insights. But what's most important is to recognize that love is out there. Love is out there in abundance. And when I mean love, I mean a good, healthy, happy relationship. There are good men out there, and there's abundance of relationships out there. And in this particular case, David and Michelle met through an online connection, which happens to be where literally almost 50% of all new relationships are happening. So I wanted to just dig in, explore, ask them a couple questions. And the benefit for those listening is that I want you to know one thing. This stuff does happen. This isn't some testimonial that you see on someone's website. These things happen. You're seeing it on the pages of Facebook. You're certainly seeing it in your circle of friends. And here's a couple that I really think is a great example of, I hope to say, how to do it right, but we'll find out if it felt right for them, but how they went along this process to getting together. So Dave and Michelle, I want to get started. Is that okay with you guys?
Let's go.
Cool. Well, I'm going to start with Michelle because, frankly, Michelle, you and I connected, I want to say almost 4 years ago. I think you listened to one of my podcasts or one of my programs, and you reached out to talk to me about private coaching. And I just was hoping you could share, first off, just a quick little bit about yourself, your age, your status, you know, children, all that kind of stuff. And then why did you choose me as being your coach?
Happy to share, Jonathan. So I'm 45. I have been divorced about 5.5. And a daughter who's in middle school. And, you know, about probably 7 months or so after I got divorced, I started dating, or I went on online for the first time on a dare from my therapist, who assured me that there were good men out there. And I wasn't sure I believed her, but I thought I'd give it a try. And, you know, as many people have in their early dating stages, I had good things happen and not so good things happen. And it was through the course of that that I found you somehow on Facebook. And I don't remember how exactly, Jonathan, but I signed up for one of your workshops on, I think it was how to get the guy back or something like that.
Okay.
And I just really liked your approach. It was very caring and warm and instructive, I would say, as opposed to some of the others that I had seen. And I resonated with that as an approach. So I think I reached out to you because I didn't get a chance to ask my question during the workshop. And, you know, you graciously offered to have a phone call with me. And we did that. And then I joined the Spotlight group from there.
Well, you and I also did that. We did a private one-on-one session where we helped you develop what I call a love mantra. Do you remember that?
I do. We did that sometime later. It might have been even a year later. I don't remember the timing exactly. But, yes, I did do that because I I felt like it was time for me to really figure out what it was that I wanted. I had been dating and in and out of, you know, short little dating experiences. And I think I was going about it all wrong. I was trying to do things, quote, right. Mm-hmm. And not really going in it knowing what was important to me and really approaching it from what worked for me. Mm-hmm. And so that's what led me to that Love Mantra program with you.
Well, I remember, even though it's that many years ago, I still remember it like it was yesterday that we worked mm-hmm. together. I knew private one-on-one. And I know you've worked with other coaches, but you certainly have listened to a lot of different coaches. You've, whether it's Alison Armstrong or my friend Evan Marquette or Carol Allen, maybe I'm picking some names that you didn't work with.
All of those, yes.
Yeah. And I know I wasn't the only one in your tool chest, but I know that the work we did with the Love Mantra, you know, it appears to pay some dividends because you also attracted in a wonderful guy in your life. And part of that was not only did we work on helping you get really defined on what you were looking for, but correct me if I'm wrong, it was also about having a little more insight on how to do this online dating a little bit better, right? Because that's how you and David met, was through online. So you had to, I suspect you had to do it a little bit better for it to work for you. Am I right?
Right. I had, at the time David and I met, I had updated my profile a little bit to reflect more of that positive energy and fun. And I had just come off a break that I had given myself.
Okay.
Kind of like a timeout from dating because I just felt like I wasn't in the right headspace. And I had to really make that shift within myself to really be able to see dating as fun again and just, you know, a way to explore and meet new people and, you know, not really think anything is going to come out of it, but just go in it for fun. And that was the space I was in. Then when I updated my profile that last time and found David.
Yay. Well, all right, so this is now going to start moving to David as well, so this is the two of you, but who emailed who, how to get started, did you wink, what was that first interaction, and take me through, and David, you might want to interject here, let's go through that first interaction. How'd you get to each other, and how'd you get to your first date?
Sure. Well, what I remember, it feels like 100 years ago.
Right.
Well, for the record, for everyone, how long have you two been together now?
A little over 2.5 years, though.
Yeah.
And you guys are moving in together, so, you know, just for our audience to know that this isn't, you know, this isn't a 5 or 10 year relationship, but this isn't you haven't known each other 3 weeks either.
Right.
So go through that first date, that first encounter.
So what I remember is, you know, scrolling through profiles on Match, as I was, you know, prone to do in the evenings, and he stuck out to me because I just really liked his smile and his dimple, which he gets when he smiles. And so I clicked to open his profile, and I really liked what he read inside. I just felt like he was really authentic and, you know, had put some care into actually creating a profile because, you know, sometimes there's not much there to go on. And you know, so I really liked that. And he talked about being a parent of teenagers and, you know, not having a lot of time potentially for dating. And it just felt really refreshing, you know, that there was this honesty up front. So I sent him a note, and I don't know whether you would have approved of what I said, Jonathan, but I just...
Oh, I want to hear now.
I was doing the drop the hanky, like you said, in my own way, and just said, you know, I really resonated with your profile, and if you feel the same, I'd love to hear from you. And I got back an email from him, and I think you asked me right away for a book recommendation. That sticks out in my mind that you asked for a book to read, and I was like, oh my gosh, there's a man who likes to read. This is so exciting.
Yay. By the way, I would have been totally okay. By the way, just so you know, I'm totally okay with you emailing him just the way you did. It worked.
Yeah, it did work.
So, yeah, so okay, let's now get to David.
I'll just jump in quickly. sorry, I'm fighting a little illness. So I don't have very clear memories of Michelle's profile per se, but I do remember her photo or some of her photos. I think there were multiple photos, and one she's gorgeous smile, beautiful brown eyes. And then I think one of her pictures, she was standing in front of a John Deere tractor, which that's in my work. I actually, I'm in sales, and John Deere is one of my customers. So it kind of caught my eye and, read her profile. And it was kind of along the same lines as mine was, I think.
I don't really remember.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really recall exactly what was in there either. But, I mean, what stuck out is she was clearly very intelligent, very thoughtful in what she did. Kids of common ages. I have two kids as well, very similar age ranges.
And how old are you, David?
I'm 46.
46. So you guys were, you were like 43 and a half, 44 when you met.
Yes.
Okay,
right.
Okay. I just want people to know, just kind of get, because of the age demographic. So, okay, so you guys had something similar. Who did the asking out? Walk us through that, if you remember.
David did that. He had asked me out for coffee.
Okay.
And that worked out great. I knew I had an event that I was going to later that night. So I just, dressed for the date. Because it was after work. We were going to go to coffee after work. And sometime during the day, he texted me and said something like, I've really had a rough day, and how about if we just go to the bar instead?
It switched from coffee to wine.
let's talk about this for a second, because a lot of people get offended. Some people get offended with the idea of doing a coffee date like that. I did this post on Facebook, and some women believe that men are cheap that do coffee dates. You didn't react that way, did you, Michelle?
Oh my gosh, no. I preferred having low commitment meet dates like that, because I didn't want to be stuck in a dinner and a movie when we hadn't met or anything like that.
Gotcha.
I wasn't offended at all.
Cool.
And I thought it was
but
really
you guys switched to having
like,
drinks,
let's go to drinks instead. And
and
he made it clear that it was totally in my court, if I was comfortable doing that or not. And I'm always game for a glass of wine. So we did that.
Okay, so now let's get a big question. You see each other for the first time. Was it like Cupid hit you, or was it like, man, I'm not sure? I'm putting you guys on the spot. I'm sorry.
Well, for me, I think it was somewhere in between. Those are two very extreme views. he was waiting at the bar, and he looked like he had just been waiting there for me all day. He was just really relaxed and looked really nice in his work clothes, and gave me a big smile, and it just felt easy right from the beginning, is what I remember.
Yeah. What do you remember? What about you, David?
Yeah, I mean, it was, I'm meeting people all the time with my work, and not that this was comparable to that, but I think while I was certainly, nervous isn't the right word, maybe a little bit anxious, because this, what truth be told, was my first date after my divorce.
Oh, okay.
So this was she was my very first date. So I was definitely, had some nerves going and this and that, but, she was wearing these kind of white capris or something, and this red and white top and her beautiful smile. So it was very nice. The whole first date was just great. I mean, we spent probably a couple hours together, and then she had to go to her painting class. So, really, really good, engaged conversation, and, really enjoyed the first date.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, so let's lead up to the next couple dates. Who did the asking? Walk us through that. if you can remember.
Oh, in those early days, David was always doing the asking. And,
okay.
You know, you were, I remember you being very proactive about it and, you know, let's go see this movie. What do you think? You know, let's go for a walk in the park. What do you think? So, yeah, it kind of went on like that for a while. It was in it, and each time I would say it always just felt really comfortable and really at ease. And, you know, I always felt like he was really interesting and funny and just made me feel really comfortable.
Now, since David, this was kind of your first, I'm getting the sense you weren't actively trolling online, you know, like a lot of people do. Michelle, what about you? Were you engaged with any other conversations with men, or was it just kind of like, you know, date one at a time, like I always suggest?
I don't remember 100%, Jonathan, but if I had been talking to anybody else at that time, I believe that I stopped pretty quickly because I was interested and I wanted to get to know him more and, you know, kind of see what happened. I didn't have any grand scheme in mind or anything like that, but I wanted to give it a chance to just enjoy the time that we would have together.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. Go ahead, David. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, it's probably worth noting from my side that even though she was my first date, I was having some, you know, I think Match.com conversations back and forth with some other women. I talked to a couple other women where actually I was thinking about planning dates. But they started basically interviewing me before we even had our first date, and it was such a turnoff. It just, we didn't even get to that step because it was, I mean, it was very clear they had like their list of things that they needed in a man. And I mean, it was just going down the line, and it was such a turnoff that and Michelle was not like that at all. She's just like, let's just have the experience. Let's get to know one another without any, you know, agenda in mind. So it was very refreshing.
Well, I like the fact, because I'm such a huge proponent of dating one person at a time and not doing the multiple or duty dating like a number of people suggest. So because I believe that things happen more organically, and I think when you like someone and they like you, it just naturally happens. You don't need to be multiple dating when you like someone, you know, and they like you back. There's no need to do it. So I'm just glad to hear that happened with you guys. Well, where else do we want to go down this road in the beginning? Because a lot of times people want to know, and I didn't even ask if I could ask you these guys questions, but when did it turn intimate? And you're okay for not, you don't have to answer that.
Fourth or fifth?
Yeah,
it was within a few weeks probably.
Okay.
Yeah, I was definitely attracted and coming off a very long dry spell, and I was ready.
We won't talk about my dry spell.
No, but you know what? There's always the question, when are you supposed to have sex? And, you know, talking about all this kind of stuff. And, you know, some people have all these rules. You know, there's a 90-day rule. Some have 3 days rules. You know, I always say that usually it's going to happen somewhere between the third and 10th dates. You know, it's, you know, and if a couple make it to 10 dates, chances are they're going to become a relationship. They will become boyfriend and girlfriend. So I call it the 10-date rule. You're going to probably be intimate somewhere within 10 dates, and you're going to become boyfriend and girlfriend if you get that far. And it sounds like you guys were trucking along, and I remember, you know, we did an interview together a couple years back after you guys had been together for 6 months. But relationships aren't always easy. And I'm a believer that for love and intimacy to go deeper, we have to cross what I've heard called, not that I've coined, but I've heard called threshold barriers. And what that means is bumps, storms, things that happen along the way. And I'm just curious if you guys ever experienced a bump, a storm, and I don't mean the word fight, okay? So just so you know, I'm not characterizing that. But a bump along the road that you guys both overcame it, and it took you guys to a deeper level in your relationship.
So if there, I'll jump in here to start.
Okay.
If there's one thing that propels us forward is both of our firm belief, and speaking for her, I know that, but is our firm belief that you can't succeed in a relationship without those bumps. If you're not having bumps, then you're not being true. You're not being honest. Mm. Frankly, you're trying to be somebody you're not. So, yes, we've had our bumps. We had a very significant one at the end of last year, in fact. That got, we were almost ready to call it quits.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And basically it was, I mean, from my side, I basically had to reinvent how I was thinking about our relationship entirely. Mm. Because I'd gotten stuck and kind of subconsciously stuck in this place where I was focusing, you know, because the next steps were coming up. We'd been together for over 2 years, you know, Michelle had brought up she'd like to move in together at some point, and, you know, kind of increasingly, all that pressure started getting me focusing on the negative things that could happen. I mean, all these just little narratives and stories would circle around in my head about why this wouldn't work, and those things would just creep into my mind quite frequently. And what finally snapped me out of it is realizing that, you know, my own happiness has to start from within me. So I had to, you know, completely change my mindset into focusing on what makes me happy as an individual first, and stop worrying about her being a certain way or a situation being a certain way, and find my happiness internally first, you know, and then through that happiness, I'm going to be more willing to share with her, to, you know, to invite her to be closer to me. And it's just, since that point, it's been fantastic.
Mm-hmm. We haven't had any bumps since then.
No.
But I would say leading up to then, I don't think I've ever known a relationship where there was as many just little bumps along the way. And I came to realize that was just part of our growth together. And that was part of being open and honest in things that probably in my past, in my marriage, certainly I would just kind of stuff down and, you know, instead of bringing up some little thing that was bothering me, I would slowly build resentments. And so, you know, we've always been very candid that we want to have an open and honest relationship, even if it's hard. And so we have done that all along the way. And, you know, I'm very good friends with somebody in your group, Jonathan, and I can't tell you how many times she said, holy cow, I think, you know, a lot of people wouldn't have made it this far. You know, you guys have been through so much together. But, you know, what I, from my perspective, I always believed in us, and I believed in, you know, the beauty of being able to work through these things and grow together. And, you know, we certainly wouldn't have gotten to where we are today without that. And each time, you know, I think it's brought us closer together.
Yeah, and then, you know, the bumps get fewer and further between every time we encounter one.
Yeah.
Because we learn from them. So, you know, we know that we can't just blame each other mm-hmm. when something goes wrong, because we all own our own emotions. And when we get triggered by something, it's coming from inside of us, not from the other person. So, you know, we both take the step and do the work to understand where that's coming from. And then we come together and talk about it. And we support each other in that work.
I want to jump in because I'm putting smiley faces on my note sheet here. And particularly you, David, here, because I want to honor something. You know, you said that the pressure of the relationship caused you to go into that negative thought, you know, those negative stories in your head. And something shifted. I think you used the word snapped, but something shifted in you where you said, I have to focus on my own happiness. Dude, I want to honor you big time because, you know, the women in my community, they hear me talking about personal growth up the yin-yang, and a lot of the ladies do a ton of personal growth work. That is huge, what you just did, when you shifted to back to me. Because when you are, I think what you were saying, if correct me if I'm wrong, when I'm a strong me, I can be a better we.
Yeah, and, for sure. I mean, and I express that openly to Michelle is, that's exactly right. When I am the most giving and the most, you know, when my heart is open the most,
yeah,
is when I'm happy from inside myself, not from what she is doing to try to make me happy. It's I genuinely have to find that in myself, and then it just, you know, with an open heart, it just kind of comes out, and I'm much more willing to give to her. And those narratives kind of melt away. So that's where I
well, I just wrote the word grown. Can I tell you, that's a big grown-up thing? and I mean that in a real, I'm honoring that hugely. That's a mature grown-up thing to do. And in a world of people of ego-based and immaturity, bravo to you and you as well, Michelle, because I know you were probably hitting some of your own resistance, as you said a moment ago, and you're hitting up some of your blocks and boundaries and things, and you guys, you held hands through it. But, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think the key, tell me, was you guys communicated with each other. Am I right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it was. And you know, being willing to take that deep look inside. I mean, I thought, honestly, I thought I was in pretty good shape, you know, from an inner work perspective at the time that David and I met. But
yeah,
where I look at where I was then and where I am now, like, I have such greater awareness and understanding of myself now than I could have even imagined when I met David. And it's all because of everything that we've been through together and how I go internal. And, you know, if I'm like annoyed by something in him, you know, I turn and say, okay, why is that annoying me? And, you know, 10 out of 10 times it's because of some fear or limiting belief within myself that's causing that, not actually anything he's doing.
I'm clapping over here big time just hearing this, because that is so big time growing up. Well, you guys, you know, what sparked me to even want to interview you is because you posted on Facebook that the two of you decided to sell your respective homes and buy a home together. You have each several children, maybe not all of them living at once, but you wanted to kind of blend in together. And it wasn't someone, you know, 9 out of 10 times is always one person into moving into someone else's house. Can you walk us through that? What made you choose to do that? And, you know, and certainly you're taking, that's a big financial commitment to with each other too. So that must have been a big conversation.
Many, many conversations, I would say.
Okay. Yeah.
Although long before we had actually decided we want to live together, you know, we had talked just conceptually about if that ever happened. And even from way back then, I remember us wanting to have our own space, that we create our own family together rather than, you know, me moving in his house and moving into my house or whatever. And so that's always been, you know, in the forefront. And I think I had gotten really attached. I didn't realize it, but I'd gotten increasingly attached to the idea of moving in together and was putting pressure on myself, which in turn was putting pressure on David, you know, to move this forward. And, you know, that was that I take ownership too. And in the conflict that we had at the end of the year that almost tore us apart, and we went quickly from, no, we're not moving in together, we don't even know if we're going to be together, to, yeah, we're going to be together and we're going to move in.
Yeah, it was,
It was like lightning.
It was a couple of very fiery fiery weeks.
Uh-huh.
But it was all, you know, it was all we had the best intentions of learning who we are, and through that process, and you know, really trying to understand how we got to that point. And within a couple of weeks, it was amazing how much we had resolved and grown to understand about ourselves and of each other.
Right, and thinking about, you know, this big shift that we're making and all of the prep work that goes into selling two houses and, you know, figuring out how do we decide what we're going to do afterwards. I'm so amazed that we've not had a single conflict in any of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just been very smooth. And, you know, thinking that moving is one of the biggest stressors in life, I think we're doing pretty darn good so far.
Well, what it sounds like to me, though, is that you guys are on the same team. You've developed win-win communication. Sounds like you guys are good friends with each other. You know, you're kind of teammates now. And you're starting to see the future through the same window. That is what I call partnership. That's what, in my definition of partnership, that's what it is. It's friendship, teamwork, win-win communication, hopefully intimacy in a lot of it. I didn't add that in there, but and ultimately seeing the future through the same window. And it sounds like you guys are on that path. You know, I want to open it up to, you know, any questions. So for those that are listening, if you want, hit *2 on your phone to ask a question. You raise your hand. But before we take a question, if anyone does want to jump in, I'm going to kind of end with a question with each of you. Well, hold on 1 second, see if anyone jumps in. Nope, it doesn't look like anyone did. I kind of want to go to you, David, first, and that is, you know, men get a bad rap for being commitment phobes and to be bad daters. The list can go on and on, quite frankly. I guess what I want to say is, what would you say to the women who are listening about what could you say about men and how you approached love and relationships through both the online world and then eventually when you guys took it to offline. Is there any advice you can give the ladies that are listening? And anything you want.
Right. So, yeah, I think as kind of Michelle pointed out, you know, initially I was pretty clear in my online profile and stuff that I wasn't necessarily looking for a relationship even.
Okay.
I just wanted to start meeting women, to start dating. But, you know, she didn't take that as, oh, he's just out to, you know, have sex with women.
Okay.
Because that wasn't it at all for me. So, I mean, the one thing that's been so refreshing, I think, with her is that she never made assumptions and, you know, kind of put me in a box of what she thought I was or what experience she thought I was after. She just kind of let us experience our dating. And, you know, I think there was a space, as we've been talking about toward the end of the year, where definitely I got afraid of committing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's when, you know, finding a man who, and a woman from my perspective as well, who is kind of into that personal development and know that those men are out there for sure. Because for me, I'm not the type of person who's going to blame Michelle or anybody, any of relationships in my life. I try not to blame other people. They own their own experiences and are going through tough times. Everybody does all the time. You know, I just try to look past that and, again, find the happiness in myself first.
Okay.
And then, you know, and then the commitment things, don't become an issue, because as long as I'm, you know, finding my own happiness and Michelle's finding her own happiness, we can come together and share in that, you know, everything will work out. There's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be high points and low points. We both know that. But we both are of the same mindset in that, you know, we support each other in that journey. So even when we are down in a low spot, we come back to that. And it's kind of a base core value that I think we both share. And then we, you know, we can get through those low times.
I love it, love it, love it. Michelle, I want to ask you something, because I always talk about this to my community, and that is look for men who take personal responsibility for their choices, their actions match their word, and they don't play a victim. And I'm listening to David going, he's all three of those, right?
He is.
Yeah, and so did you, just real quick, and I certainly want you to give advice to everyone about your experience, but how when did you recognize that within him? Because this is key. When did you recognize that he was a, you know, his actions matched his words, he lived, you know, he took responsibility for his past experiences, and when did you notice he wasn't a victim? Not that he demonstrated that, but.
Right. Well, I will answer that in kind of maybe a roundabout way, because,
okay.
You know, before we got on the call tonight, I mentioned to you that when I first started with you, when I would see success stories come up on the page, people would get engaged or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, of course I was happy for them, but I honestly was like, whatever. Like, that's the unicorn out there, you know. That's the one unicorn, and they've been snatched up. And so I had to really get right within myself and really face some of my own issues in order to be ready to receive what David had to offer.
Mm.
And so I would say from the very beginning, I was able to accept who he was and to really appreciate every day who he is in the world in a way that I know I've never been able to do before. And that's me. That's not him. So I think it's just as much of who the man is in the world as who the woman is, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the women that, you know, say there's no good men out there, or, you know, I'm never going to find him in New York City, or I'm never going to find him wherever.
Yeah.
Turn that mirror around and take a look inside, because there's something going on there that's preventing you from being able to see the good men out there, because they're there.
Oh, my God, I want to ring a bell right now. I'm so glad you said that. You know, and I love the fact you even shared that you thought some of the success stories were like, pull me away, you know, like, because you guys are a success story, and you're at the first stage of your success story. I mean, you know, truly when you connect the dots looking backward 20 or 30 years or 40 years in the future, we can really say that, but you know, with what you've demonstrated and what I've heard tonight is that you guys, you walked into this. You first were attracted to each other enough to go, let's give this a shot. You had enough mutual interest within each other to give it a shot. And when you hit these bumps, you didn't collapse. You didn't fold. You said, let's get through it together. And even when a big one came up for either one of you, he said, let's go beyond our surface level and go deeper. And what I love, especially what David said, and I know it resonates for both of you, is that when you find that inner happiness within, you become that strong foundation that you can build a we together. And it takes two people to be in that place. Am I happy where I'm at? And it doesn't mean you have to do it all alone, but you got to be happy there first. And I'm so glad to hear you guys both say that, because it emulates in what you guys have created. So,
the
other
thing I would add, if I could, Jonathan.
Sure.
Our big bump at the end of the year,
yeah.
There was enough love there that I would have rather let him go than to try and hold on to the relationship out of fear, you know, fear of not being in a relationship, fear of losing him, whatever. And that was a new place for me too, to be willing, if that's what it took for David to find his happiness, I would gladly let him go and just want what's best for him. And I think that's a part of what makes us so strong too. We, I think, truly want what's best for each other. And right now that's being together.
Mm-hmm.
But I think just being able to have really that best interest at heart makes a big difference.
I just wrote down grown up on that one.
We are really grown up, aren't we?
That is a really grown-up thing to say, because oftentimes we're in our little kid and they did us wrong or they did this, and you're saying, you know what, I want him to be happy no matter what. That is so grown-up, so I'm ringing the bell right now if I had one here. Well, we're going to go ahead and wrap up. I can't wait to hear this story unfold over the years. You know, I'm going to keep the Spotlight group open so I can hear what's going on between the two of you. But from the bottom of my heart, David and Michelle, I want to thank you so much for coming on, sharing a bit of your story, because your story is going to inspire other people. And if you can even make a difference in one person's life, if we can make a difference with this audio, then we've really, as a community, as a world, we're paying it forward. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much.
Well, thanks for inviting us on again, Jonathan.
Yeah, thank you, Jonathan.
Oh, my pleasure. Well, I'm going to hit the recording, but turn off the recording.